Good to be back this evening. Good to see each one. Brother Tom, you're going to have to get more control of your woman now. I come in here and she asked for a kiss.
About to run out of time.
Only the kind of kiss she wanted. Keep it short, stupid. So there you go.
No respect, none.
But that's all right.
Wait a minute, I don't think that's how it works.
This is my story. You tell it some other time. You got longer to straighten it out than I do. All right. I do want to thank you for allowing me to have this privilege and this honor to stand before you. I thank Brother Isaac for having the confidence in me that undoubtedly he has, because I know from my own personal experience, you must always exercise caution in who fills the pulpit. Amen. And I'm thankful that Brother Isaac has that confidence in me. I hope never to do anything to break that confidence. I thank each of you for allowing me to have the privilege and the opportunity to be here. I thank Brother Roger, Sister Phyllis, for allowing us to spend the afternoon with them. They didn't feed us much, but we spent the afternoon with them anyway. Boy, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to quit lying to you. No, we had a wonderful meal, and I was reluctant to put on my tie this evening because of that meal. I don't want to get whatever you get when you get choked. All right, enough foolishness. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 28. I want to share with you a few thoughts from a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. No doubt you have, as individuals, read this many times. No doubt you have heard it proclaimed, taught on, preached many times. Again, I say to you, I don't have anything new to present to you. I don't want to find anything new. I find things that I had not understood properly before, that I understand better now. But new things are not always good. New things are not always the best. And as I said this morning, I still love that old, old story. And I do hope and pray that that will be our theme in glory. But here in Matthew 28, we understand verses 18 through 20 to be what we call the Great Commission. And I believe that. I believe it is our commission. And as we read, and Jesus came and spake unto them these sayings, all power is given unto me and in heaven. Jesus did not say, all power is given unto you. It's given unto him. Rightfully so. He is all powerful, is he not? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I love the Lord's promise. I love what He said here. I love the commission that He has given here. And I want to say to you, it is the greatest commission that has ever been given. I know that we, as the Lord's New Testament churches, we send, we sponsor, we care for missionaries all over the world. But let me tell you something. There is no greater care, there is no greater love, there's no greater power than that of Jesus Christ. And as He speaks unto that New Testament church, and yes, I believe with all my heart that is exactly who He is speaking to. That institution that He Himself instituted. You can go back up a few verses in verse 16. Then the 11 went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And the conversation continues between them and Jesus. Not as individuals, but as an institution. I know of no greater institution than I am a member of right now. Here on this earth, there has never been a greater, and there will never be one greater. I want us all to understand that. We can read in here, we can begin to understand what Jesus is saying to this institution. We understand that we have been commissioned to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples, baptizing them in the proper manner by immersion in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but not to forget them when we have done that. Oftentimes, new members fall by the wayside. You know why? I'm going to blame us for the greater reason. Because we did not complete that great commission. You do not make a disciple and baptize him and forget him. If we do anything, if we do it that way, we have not done the Lord's command. I know you cannot force anyone to come to this place. I understand that. And it wouldn't be any good if you did. But brethren, whether it be here, whether it be outside of here, on the street, in their home, or in your home, you have the opportunities to teach them at least a portion of God's Word. God and the Lord thinks it's very important. Notice what He said. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Let me ask you a simple question. When you were saved, And when you were scripturally baptized, did you automatically know all things I have commanded you? Somebody had to teach us, didn't he? You know whose responsibility that teaching falls upon? It falls upon our shoulders as a New Testament church. Teaching them not just what it says, thou shalt not steal. It goes much farther than that. Teaching them to observe. That don't mean sit back and just eyeball it. To observe it means to live it. That's what he's talking about. That's what he wants us to do as a New Testament church. To go into all the world, make disciples, baptize those disciples, and then teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, when I was preparing for this, which my mind has got to where it kind of wanders for a while and then it just completely quits, and then it will get back on the trail for a little while. I don't know if any of y'all ever done any coon hunting or not. With some old coon dogs, sometimes they're hot and boy, they're howling like everything. Next thing you never know where they're at. That's kind of the way my mind is anymore. But bless your heart, I want us to notice the very first three words of verse 19. Go ye, therefore. What y'all think about those three words? Does that mean, and I'm not here to make enemies because I sure do love y'all, but does that mean, preacher, go? I always thought Y-E was plural, not singular. And if he's talking to an institution, is not that institution the ye? It is. So what I'm saying to you is, brethren, and don't think I exclude myself, because I get a double dose whenever I do this wonderful thing. But what he is saying to us, and brethren, it is a command. It's not a if you want to. That's got this country in so much trouble now, I don't know what to do. If you want to, it is a command. Do it. Do it. I realize, brethren, we can't go all over the world. But I also realize that we have the opportunity and privilege, and this work does sponsor missionary work in abundance. Amen. That's right. I understand that. But where is our field? It may not be over in some of these foreign countries. It may not be over on the west hand of Oklahoma. It may not be in Oklahoma City. It may not be in Salisaw. But do you know where it's at? Right here in Muldrow and this surrounding area. This is a field, like Jesus said, wide unto harvest. You know how I know that? Because this building has never been torn down and built 10 times larger than it is right now to house the people of Muldrow. You know that? Now, I'm not advocating tearing this house down. Go out here, it'd be kind of foolish to go out here and build one 10 times this big and expect, you know. Realistically, what I'm saying is, people of this town, this community, this area needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like where we are have moved to, they must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, go. Saddle up your bag or your horse and put on your side or your bags or whatever they call them things and take off. No. I want to share a few thoughts with you. I don't know where the young man's at. He thought I was long this morning. He might, sure enough, be asleep tonight. But anyway, there's a few things I want to share with you before you go out to visit. I hope you find it an encouragement. I hope we all find it an encouragement. First of all, before we go out, we must know who we are. I want to let that soak in. We must know who we are. Brethren and friend, I think that is of the utmost importance in our mission work, in our witnessing to others. We are not just anybody going out with a few words. I want to share with you. Everybody knows Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, don't we? For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Tell me verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God foreordained that we should walk in them. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
All right. What are we? As a New Testament church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first of all, I want to say to you, my neighbor didn't put me with you. My family members did not put me with you. As a New Testament church, we came together by the power of God. Not just any organization can say that. In that verse, we are His workmanship. You know what that is? That is a thing that has been produced. That is a thing that has been designed. We're something that's been produced. We're something that has been designed. And brother, the designer is Jesus Christ. You see, without Him, there would be no New Testament church. We are His workmanship. Man did not bring together nor build this work right here. If God didn't bring us here, we should be somewhere else. It's important, brethren, that we know who we are when we go out. I think that realizing we are God's workmanship not just some organization. We have been brought together, put together by the divine power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to share with you here just a few words. You might agree or you might not, which right now, anyway, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, you know how Paul addresses the church at Corinth? Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Have you ever thought about those words? Now, Paul didn't say unto the church of Corinth. Paul did not say unto the church of James, John, Peter, none of those. But he said unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Who do you think put that church there? Whose church was that? I know Paul was a missionary. I know Paul went and preached the gospel. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit was at work, drawing people, putting people, gathering people to make a church. You see, unto the church of God which was at Corinth. I love that because that says that that is the church. It's not a church of man, it's a church of God. And it is visible and tangible. You can go to Corinth if you want to. There it is. You see, how would it sound if we said these words? Unto the church of God which is at Muldrow. How would you like that? That's exactly what it is. Unto the church of God which is at Muldrow. You see, God works the same. He done it the same way in Paul's day as he is doing it in our day. Nothing has changed. I like the ring of that, don't you? Unto the church of God which is at Muldrow. I like that sound. Just as much as I like that about unto the church of God which is at Corinth. That allows me to know God is still active in the welfare of man. And so you see, we can honestly say, and if I didn't believe we could honestly say that, I would have never mentioned it. But I believe as a New Testament church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that it would not be wrong to say unto the church of God which is at Muldrow. It's just as correct as it was at Corinth. We must know who we are. Folks, sometimes, let me rephrase this, sometimes I put aside of whom I represent. I know nobody else in this assembly has ever done that, but I confess I have. Sometimes, when I would be visiting and everything, I would let it slip from my mind exactly who I was representing. It's sad, but it's true. But I want us to remember that we are the Church of God in Muldrow. That's important. Remember that when you go out. You're not just an organization going out to harass people. You're just not just an organization to go out and try to get people's money. You are the organization that is going to go out to try and make a difference in people's lives. When we go, we must be obedient. Must be obedient. I know that was a hard thing when I was a kid to be obedient, but it didn't take me long to learn it's best to be obedient. You see, obedience is one thing that the Lord expects of us, or He would have never said, "Go ye therefore." And as I said, that is a command, not a request. But He wants us to go in obedience unto Him. Yes, we always hold in our hearts and in our minds the welfare, the condition of those whom we may visit. But let me tell you, folks, when we go in obedience to Jesus. You see, I know you already know that 1 Samuel tells us to obey is better than sacrifice. Everybody in agreement to that? To obey is better than to sacrifice. Why are we so disobedient all the time? I didn't mean that as a joke. I was kind of serious. We act disobedient many times. You see, we need to realize that if we truly love Jesus as He loved His New Testament church, how did He love her? Enough to die for her. That's how much He loved her. Enough to die for her. You see, He loved her enough, and He said unto her, "If a man love me, he will keep my word." He will. I know as a child and even as a young adult, a lot of times I did not really want to obey those of authority over me. But I realized that I was wrong. But God wants us to obey His word. And He says, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe all things. If we do anything less, are we in obedience? And you see, the Lord said in Deuteronomy unto the nation of Israel, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God." Do you reckon that would still be true today? That God would still bless this work if we were in obedience unto Him? I know He would. I know He would. You know, one of the greatest examples that perhaps that we have in obedience is our Lord and Savior. He never done one thing, said one thing, thought one thing contrary to His Father's will. That's a pretty good example, isn't it, of being obedient? Whenever we think about going, we got to go knowing who we are. We need to be in obedience unto Him and go. We must be clothed with humility. You know, I never did care for somebody to go knock on the door in a spirit of everything except humility. You know what that does? That'll get a door slammed in your face real quick. It will. You see, the only thing that I have any pride of is Jesus and what He's done for me. In humility, we understand what the Scripture says, but do you realize that Proverbs 18 and 12 says, before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Humility is a garment that we should never set aside. It should always be worn. You like a smart aleck. I've had some preachers, not missionary Baptists, and some other people, in a very smart alecky way, tell me, you do not know what you're talking about. I've had one to tell me, your Bible is of no value, in a very smart alecky way, like they may have know everything. You know what I could say? I'm sorry you feel that way. Humility never hurts us, brethren. The great example of humility, what does Philippians teach us about Jesus Christ? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, humbling himself there in the presence of God and man. He humbled himself, knowing what was fixing to happen to him. That's humility, is it not? There are several other things, but I'm running out of time unless y'all not going to have a midnight snack. We must go, and I'm just going to tell you these real quick. We must know God's Word before we go. If you don't study it, you'll never know it. But you must know God's Word before you go. We must go. Why is that so important? We must realize that there is none that understandeth. Did you understand God and His grace and mercy and His salvation before you were saved? If there's one here that understood all of that, you sure were a lot better than I was. I didn't understand it. I just believed in my heart and in my mind that Jesus Christ would do exactly what He said, and that was save my soul when I called upon Him. I didn't understand all there is to know about it. But let me tell you something. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Were you seeking God? You see, I lived. The Lord allowed me to live till I was 18 years old before I was saved. But I will assure you, until I was saved, I was not seeking God. No. I was seeking a little woman. That's right. I wasn't seeking after God. But I thank God He changed my heart. He changed my mind. He changed my thinking. He changed what I was seeking after. If He hadn't, I would not be here right now. And I certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. So you see, brethren, there are some things that we need to know before we go out. Main thing is to go. We seek, yes, we must pray. We must keep our hearts and our minds focused, because in closing, I want to share with you John 3:36. You may already know it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's great, isn't it? And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. That's horrible, isn't it? But the wrath of God abideth on him. You see the importance of going? What condition? What's going to happen to the lost? Folks, I understand you cannot change a person's mind, and God has never told you to change a person's mind. God has never told you to save anyone. But he has told us to go and preach the gospel. You know, I love what 1 Corinthians Paul and them says. Some sow the seed, some water, but where does the increase come from? But God giveth the increase. Amen. But what happens when there is no sower? What happens when there is no one to go along and follow up and water those seeds? God can't give an increase from nothing. I know he make everything out of nothing, but that's not the point. That's not what I'm saying. If we don't sow and water, there will be no increase. Y'all believe that? I do. Brother Dean, I wish I could remember people's name. Sister pianist player, will you come up here? I apologize. I get embarrassed a lot of times, folks, because I know you. But sometimes when I look at you and won't call your name, I can't. I don't know if that's a sign of getting older or not. You know anything about that, Bill Don? Let us all stand together.
Page 534.